quickly do the rest of my affirmative charts, and then we'll get into saying what Mr. Forsythe, or talking about what Mr. Forsythe said. First of all, I want you to notice that God only has to tell me to do something one time. That's all. For example, the basic summary of the steps of discipline in Matthew 18. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Then, if he won't repent, take with thee one or two more. If he won't repent then, tell it unto the church. And as far as I know, God only gave these, quote, steps one time. But I follow these steps anyway, don't you? God only has to tell me to do something one time. What about you? How many times does God have to tell you to do something before you will believe it and obey it? What about your father, your daddy, when you're growing up? How many times did he have to tell you to do something before you do it? But there's only one verse that tells us when to eat the Lord's Supper, and that's Acts 20, verse 7. I believe it, and I obey it. Do you? Now I want to know the next question. Are we supposed to go by the Bible or not? We all use that catchphrase, we're supposed to go by the Bible. Well, is it really true or not? In the Bible, and I got that in uppercase, we read that the disciples came together on the first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper, Acts 20, verse 7. Ask yourself this question. Does the congregation you worship with do this? If not, can you honestly say that you're going by the Bible? Does the congregation that you worship with come together on the first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper? Ask Mr. Forsythe the question. I said, does the First United Pentecostal Church of Forest, Mississippi do what the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7? That is, do they come together on the first day of the week to break bread and have preaching? He marked yes. That they do come together on the first day of the week to break bread and have preaching. He marked yes. Then he said, we come together for preaching, prayer, singing, and worship. No scriptural teaching from Jesus or the apostles tell us to take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. You know, I ask him if they, the church he worships with, comes together on the first day of the week to break bread and have preaching. And he said yes, we marked yes, and then his comment contradicted that because he said we come together for prayer, singing, preaching, and worship. But he left off the Lord's Supper. You see, they don't come together on the first day of the week to break bread. They don't do what the disciples in Acts 20, verse 7 did. You look at Acts 20, verse 7. The disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Does the church you worship with do that? Do y'all come together on the first day of the week to break bread? Mr. Forsythe, the church he belongs to, they don't. They don't. They do some of the other items of worship, but they don't break bread like the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7. Bread. You know, New Testament Christians did it. New Testament Christians ate the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7. I claim to be a New Testament Christian, and I think everybody in this room does. But I claim to be that, therefore I eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Do you claim to be a New Testament Christian? Then you should do what New Testament Christians did and eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, Brent. Are you sure of your practice? We are all sure that my practice is right. I am sure that it is right to do what the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7. I'm sure of that. You know what? Mr. Forsythe, he's sure that it's right to do what the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7. Now, he's getting up here denying that you have to do it, but he's sure that it's right to do what the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7. That is, come together on the first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper. He's sure of that. Everybody in this audience is sure that it's right to do what the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7. On the other hand, are you sure that your practice is right? Is my opponent sure that it is right to do something different than what the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7? Now, the First United Pentecostal Church in Florence, most Sundays, they do something different than what the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7. Are y'all sure it's okay to do that, to do something different than what they did in Acts 20, verse 7? Are you positive? Are you sure that it is right to do something different than what the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7? Romans 14, 23 says, he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you're not sure of your practice, and you better change your practice, because if you do something you doubt, that's a sin. If you have any doubts, you better do what you're sure about. You better do just exactly what the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7. That is, eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And then the last chart I have here is entitled, By the Authority of Christ. My opponent agrees with me that we must do everything by the authority of Christ. Colossians 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the way that verse reads. The authority for my practice, that is, the first day of the week, Lord's Supper, is found in Acts 20, verse 7. Where is the authority for my opponent's practice, that is, eating the Lord's Supper, on a day other than the first day of the week? Brent, be finding his chart, the very first one he brought up, where he's got the boxes there. You got that already. All right. He wants to know the scriptures for this. Evidently, it's just like the chart last night. He wants to know some of the scriptures for the different parts of the proposition. Well, I'll give them to you, Mr. Forsythe. First of all, he wants to know about each member. Where's the scripture for that? Well, that's right in Acts 20, verse 7, Mr. Forsythe. Did you read that? Look at it. Everybody look at Acts 20, verse 7. He wants to know, where is the scripture for each member doing this? Well, it says, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Is that each member? Is that just one person? No, it says disciples, plural. That's each member. That was simple enough, wasn't it? What about every week? Well, it says they came together on the first day of the week. Now, he's either misunderstanding, unintentionally, I think it's unintentionally, my point about Exodus 20, verse 8. He says, gets up here and he says, the Passover has more to do with the Lord's Supper than the Sabbath does. Mr. Forsythe, I'm not saying that the Lord's Supper, that the Sabbath has anything to do with the Lord's Supper. I'm not saying that at all. They're not connected in any way. I'm not saying that they're connected. Okay, one's on the first day of the week. They're totally different. One's part of the old law, one's part of the new law. That's not what I'm saying at all. Here's what I'm saying about the Sabbath. I'm showing you a principle of how, when you read some wording in the scriptures, how do you understand it? In Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It didn't say the word every Sabbath, but Mr. Forsythe, you understand that to mean every Sabbath, don't you? How did you know that? Because, let me prove that he understands that. I asked him a question. Exodus 20, verse 8 teaches that the Israelites were to keep the Sabbath. I asked him to please check one box. Every seventh day of the week, a seventh day of the week every 3 months, a seventh day of the week once a year, or other. Please bless it. Touch my words. He checked every seventh day of the week. Alright. He says, show me a scripture that associates the seventh day, Israel's Sabbath, with the Lord's Supper. I said, there is no connection. That's what I'm saying. Now let me talk when I'm up here, alright, Mr. Forsythe? Okay, there is no scripture that associates them. I'm not trying to associate them. But you check the answer that Exodus 20, verse 8, it teaches they were to keep the Sabbath every. Notice that word, every seventh day of the week. Now notice, Exodus 20, verse 8 didn't say every. How did Mr. Forsythe know that it taught every seventh day of the week? That's what I'm getting at. I'm not saying the Sabbath is connected to the Lord's Supper. I'm not saying that at all. But how did they know they were to keep the Sabbath every seventh day of the week? It's not because the word every was in there. It's because every week had a seventh day in it. So the Israelites knew, since God told them to remember the Sabbath day, and since there was a Sabbath day every week, that they were going to have to keep the Sabbath every first day of the week. And you know, that's how we know. Because none of us are Israelites. None of us lived back then. That's how we know they were supposed to keep it every week. Now, go back to the Lord's Supper. We have a similar kind of expression. They came together on the first day of the week to break bread. It doesn't say the word every. But by the same reason that Mr. Forsythe sees every in Exodus 20, verse 8, I think you could see every in Exodus 20, verse 7. It's the same principle. How often does the first day of the week roll around? Well, every week. But we should know that we need to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, just like the Israelites knew they were to remember the Sabbath every seventh day of the week. And then he asked me, so the scripture for every week is Acts 20, verse 7. That's simple enough. You can understand Exodus 20, verse 8, can't you, Mr. Forsythe? Now understand Acts 20, verse 7. What about the Lord's Supper? He asked me for the scripture. Well, Mr. Forsythe, you admitted in our last debate it was talking about the Lord's Supper. I gave the quotes just a while ago, so why are you asking for this? But if you want a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, I gave that in my first speech. It shows that the breaking of bread refers to the Lord's Supper. There's your scripture. So he asked me for this, and I gave it to you, Mr. Forsythe. It's clear and plain. Now, will you accept it? Basically, I think this chart calls for me to answer these questions, and if I will answer them clearly and truthfully, then you'll accept my position. If not, what's the point of the chart? Now, accept the position, Mr. Forsythe, because I've clearly and truthfully, there's no way around it, answered each and every box. I've given a scripture for every member. You get up here and deny that I haven't. Acts 20, verse 7 clearly teaches that. I've given a scripture for every week. You get up here and accept that, or you come back and tell us that the Israelites do not have to keep the Sabbath every seventh day. One of the two, you don't have a choice. And then I've given 1 Corinthians 10, 16 for Acts 20, verse 7 being talking about the Lord's Supper. You get up here and deny that. If you won't deny these, then you've got to accept the proposition, because that's the intention of this chart. Then he talked about the holy kiss of Romans 16, verse 16. Well, I happen to believe, and I think Mr. Forsythe would agree with me, he can get up here and tell me if he does, but I happen to believe that the holy kiss can be fulfilled in like a handshake. Back then, that was one of the ways that Christians would greet one another. That was the custom. And the custom for us in greeting one another was with a handshake. Now, what I want to ask you, Mr. Forsythe, if the verse in Romans 16, 16, where it says, greet one another with the holy kiss, if that had said, greet one another with the holy kiss on the first day of the week, let me tell you, how often would you do that? Would you do it every first day of the week? You know, if the verse had said that, I would make sure that I shook another Christian's hand every first day of the week. Would you? If it had said do it on the first day of the week, I believe in doing that. Now, I think we fulfill it in a different way. Our custom is to do a handshake. That's how we greet one another. But I believe in fulfilling that passage and doing what it says. And if it said, greet somebody with a holy kiss on the first day of the week, I'd be doing it every first day of the week. You can get up here and tell us if you would, Mr. Forsyth. He talked about the washing of feet, number 20, Brent. Well, Brent's getting that up. He said, where did Jesus teach the Lord's Supper? Where did Jesus? You know, that's silly. I know every one of y'all believe that if it's written in Acts, if it's written in 1 Corinthians, if it's written in Revelation, that Jesus taught. I know y'all believe that. It doesn't have to be in the red letters in your New Testament to know that Jesus taught. I know y'all believe that. You don't even believe your argument, do you, Mr. Forsyth? Luke was inspired by God to write Acts 20, verse 7, and so that's how Jesus taught, and that's where he taught. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you believe that? Then that proves that Acts 20, verse 7 was given by inspiration of God. That's where God, that's what Jesus taught us to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. He asked about the washing of feet. The truth is that both the Lord's Supper and the washing of feet are still binding today under similar circumstances. I mean, under the same circumstances that they were binding then. The Lord's Supper, when the disciples came together on the first day of the week to eat it, that's when it's binding. It was binding on the first day of the week then, it's still binding on the first day of the week. The washing of feet is still binding today when someone's feet are dirty. John 13:10 teaches that their feet were dirty. Now, what are some differences between the two? Well, the Lord's Supper was done by the church group. That's one difference. The washing of feet is done by individuals. The Lord's Supper was done in the assembly. 1 Corinthians 11, 18, 20, and 33. The washing of feet is not done in the assembly. Matter of fact, I think if you're doing that in the assembly, you're not doing what's right. The Lord's Supper is, let me read this one first. There are other ways to fulfill the principle of humility besides the washing of feet. I believe we can wash people's feet to fulfill that principle of humility. I believe we can do other things that help other people in other ways, and we'll be fulfilling the principle. We get, that's washing the feet. I'm not excluding that. That's one of the ways. There's other ways that we can fulfill the principle of humility. How do we do that? By helping others and doing what they need for them. But the Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of the principle taught. It specifically must be done. It's not like the holy kiss or washing the feet where you can shake a hand and fulfill the holy kiss. Or you can help an old lady across the road, and that'd be like washing your feet. Or you can wash your feet too. That'd be, both of those would be good. But you have to do the Lord's Supper. You can't just substitute hamburger and Coke in there. You can't substitute something else and say, we're going to substitute December 25th celebration there and celebrate his birth instead of celebrating his death. No, you can't substitute that in there. This must be done. That's the difference between the two. Yes, a widow, and I believe this, must have washed the saints' feet to be taken into the number. 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 10. Likewise, the disciples must come together on the first day of the week to break bread. And then he talked in James 14, 5 verse 14, about them anointing with oil and so forth. Well, Mr. Forsyth, you know from our discussion back last year about tongues that I believe that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit ceased according to 1 Corinthians 13. And you know what I believe about that. Why get up here and act like you don't know what I believe about that? And so I believe they did that back then. But I believe that the age of miracles has ceased. And so we call and we pray for the sick, but we don't do the miraculous things talked about in that passage because 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10 teaches clearly that those miraculous things ceased back at that time. Now I'll show you what Mr. Forsyth's doing. When he brings up the holy kiss, the washing of feet in James 5, 14, you know what he's saying? He's saying, in effect, and we know he believes in that examples are binding. He says, in effect, well, I know examples are binding, and I know Acts 20, verse 7 is an example. But, Patch, you don't do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this. It's like getting up here, you can tell somebody that they're not doing something right, if they say, well, you're another. What good does that do? Now, the question this morning is, the debate this morning is, do we have to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? We could probably have a good discussion about washing the feet, holy kiss, and James 5, 14. That'd be a good discussion. That's not the discussion this morning, Mr. Forsyth. Does that prove... Let's say I never did the holy kiss. Let's say I was in total rebellion to God. I never holy kissed. I never washed feet. I never did what James 5:14 says. Would that prove then that we didn't have to do what God said in Acts 20, verse 7, the fact that I was a sinner? Would that prove anything? No, you can't prove that Acts 20, verse 7 is not binding because you think, well, you're not doing these. Well, I explained about all those things, but even if I didn't do those, Acts 20, verse 7 is binding. Is that the way y'all reason? One is Pentecost. Is that the way y'all reading? Y'all see a verse and say, well, I know we're not doing that, but you're not doing this. That's not the way we reasoned. And we don't think that makes us all right just because somebody else is not doing something else. I don't think it's okay to commit adultery just because Jim Baker did. Do you? No, I don't. And then he said, we can't follow an example to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T. Well, I really don't agree with that statement, that we can't follow example to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T. I don't agree with that. But if that were so, if we can't do that, I want to ask you, Mr. Forsythe, can you follow Acts 20 verse 7? Even if it were so that you can't follow all the examples in the Bible to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T, for some reason you think it's impossible to follow all of them that accurately. I want to ask you this. Can you follow Acts 20, verse 7? How hard would it be for the First United Pentecostal Church in Forest, Mississippi to come together the first day of the week to break bread? I believe you can follow that, couldn't you? So you think you can't follow all the examples of the Bible, even though the Lord commands it. You think it can't be done. But I believe even you would admit that we can come together on the first day of the week. Why don't you do that? Now, Brent, go back to number 3. Acts 20, verse 7 requires us to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Now, we've already established that we believe that approved examples are binding. Number 3, the women's Pentecostals believe that. We've seen quote after quote from the Bible. Now, we must follow approved examples. Our example is the Lord's Supper being taken on the first day of the week. Therefore, we must eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Why don't the women's Pentecostals do that? I don't know. Y'all sit around and talk about this and say, well, we know that's in the Bible, but we don't do it because Pat Donahue over there in Northern Alabama, he doesn't do the Holy Kiss. That's why we don't have to do this. Where is the verse that says that Pat says Pat Donahue does not follow the Holy Kiss? Y'all don't think I do. Therefore, we don't have to obey what the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 7. Is that the way y'all reason? I don't think so. Why don't y'all do this? Y'all believe in following approved examples. Here it is, right in the book, Acts 20, verse 7. Do it. And then, Brent, put up number 7. Every first day of the week. I want to go back over that Sabbath day, James. Let's go back over that. God said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, everybody here can understand the word every is not in that verse. Yet everybody here agrees that verse, I accept. Peaches, they were to do it every Sabbath day. How did you know that? Because when God says to do something on the Sabbath day, we ask ourselves this question. Well, how often does the Sabbath day roll around? Just once a month? No, it's every week. For example, if we did it this week, but the next Sabbath day we didn't, we'd be disobeying the commandment on that Sabbath to remember the Sabbath day to keep holy. Now, I'm not saying that the Sabbath has anything to do with the Lord's Supper. No, they're totally disconnected. But I'm saying use the same reasoning, the same principle in Acts 20, verse 7. He admits that Acts 20, verse 7 is talking about the Lord's Supper, but he doesn't admit it's teaching every first day of the week. Now, use the same principle, the same way you learn every Sabbath day. How often does the first day of the week roll around? Every week. Now, if we ate the Lord's Supper tomorrow, we would be obeying the example of Acts 20, verse 7, wouldn't we? But the next Sunday, if we didn't eat it because we were just going to wait for once a quarter, on that Sunday, would we be following the example of Acts 20, verse 7? No, we would have tomorrow, but 8 days from now, we wouldn't be. Do you see that if we want to follow God all the time, that is, the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, if we want to follow that example all the time, then we're going to have to follow that example every first day of the week? Somebody get up here and give me a good reason why that reasoning doesn't come. And Brent, put up number 6. Why is the example of Acts 20, verse 7 important? I want to show you why the example of Acts 20, verse 7 is important. Why is it so important? Like I said, it's not just what some individual Christians did incidentally. Like, for example, Paul was traveling and happened to take this boat or something like that. It's not just something he did incidentally to get at somewhere that was important to preach, but it was done by a group of Christians. We can call that a church, a congregation. Not only was it done by the group, it was done when they met together. Not only was it done when that group met together, but it was done when they met together for a worship service. They had preaching. Preaching accompanied that. Do I have preaching every first day of the week? I believe you do. Then why don't you eat the Lord's Supper? They're both in the same passage. Not only that, it was determined beforehand. It's not like they got there and just said, well, let's just eat the Lord's Supper. I see some bread up there on the bench already ready from last week. We just go ahead and eat it. No, they determined beforehand. The disciples came together to break bread. That's the reason they came together. Is that the reason you all come together on the first day of the week? That is to break bread? I dare say it's not because y'all don't do it on the first day of the week or every first day of the week. That was the purpose of why they came together. 8 seconds.
First of all, I'd like to say I can follow Acts 20 and verse 7 if it taught or said every first day of the week. Now, that question here he read about me. Now, I'm tired of him misrepresenting me. That's why I told him a while ago to read the question. Now, don't get up here and misrepresent me anymore. The question was, does the First United Pentecostal Church of Forest, Mississippi, I got that underlined. Did I underline that, Mr. Donahue? Do what the disciples did in Acts 20? That is, do they come together on the first day of the week to break bread and have preaching? I skipped break bread. I don't have that underlined. Did I skip it, Mr. Donahue? Did I skip it? Did I skip break bread here? How come you to get up here and say that I believe you come together to break bread on the first day of the week? Did I skip it right here, or did I underline it? Don't get up here and misrepresent me anymore. Here's the way the question reads. First United Pentecostal Church of Mississippi comes together on the first day of the week and has preaching. That's what I underlined. And I skipped breaking bread. He got up here and said, oh, he believes Acts 20 and 7. He done it right here. Well, I didn't. Don't do me that way no more, buddy. And put the last part of my chart that I had last while ago. I skipped break bread. Did I skip it or not? I'm going to talk over you this morning. You talked over me last night. All right. Webster's New Dictionary of the American Language, sometimes selected to show the nature of character of the rest, to behave, to be a pattern or model for others. That's what Jesus was doing when he showed an example. It don't matter what Pat Donahue said. He may say you can wash feet in time if you want to. He may say don't wash them in the assembly. But Jesus Christ washed them when they came together. And when they broke bread, he washed the disciples' feet. It don't matter what Pat Donahue said. The Bible said Jesus Christ was an example. And there's what example means. Webster's New World Dictionary in the American language. That's what it says. All right? And it's the first time I ever saw anybody change a kiss to a handshake. Buddy, I have heard it all now. I'm going to tell you something. Me and my wife, ever since we've been married, I never have shook her hand and called that a kiss. How many of y'all just courting your wife, if she did let you kiss her, did you shake her hand? Say, thank you for the kiss, honey. I don't believe Pat Donahue done that either. And I don't believe today that a kiss is a handshake. And listen, we're not here to present what I believe about the Lord's Supper. We're here talking about what he believes about it. And all he done is get up here and ramble around about, I believe this, and I believe that, and I believe that. We're here to discuss what he believes about the Lord's Supper. So let's put the chart back up there on the proposition. Let's get the proposition chart again. Changing a kiss to a handshake. Some folks will do anything in the world to get their way. I've heard of that. All right? Every week. That's what I won't put in here, because that's what his proposition says. Every week. Every week. Acts 20 said they come together on the first day of the week to break bread. Didn't say you used to come together the first day of every week. Now, you like to get technical. I'll get technical a little bit. I want to see every week scripture put in here. Well, you haven't dissolved this yet. Don't worry about it. He ain't going to either. All right? That proves that he's not consistent with his example on the Holy Kiss. It proves he's not consistent in example on James 5. Turn over there to James 5. And I'm going to read James 5 and start in there about 13. It's proved that he's not consistent on his example in James 5. I want to see somebody show me where this has been dissolved. Read on.
Is any among you afflicted?
Is any among you afflicted? How many of you folks ever get afflicted? Read on.
Let him pray.
Do you pray in your afflictions? Oh, I'm sure you do. Read on.
Is any married?
Is any married?
Let him sing songs.
Let him sing songs.
Is any of the sick among you?
Oh, that's been took out now. We ought to skip that. That's for the New Testament church, and that's these other two things here are an example. We have apostolic examples, but this 14 here, it's been took out now. We can't use it no more. We didn't say a thing in that verse about a miraculous gift. You read a miraculous gift in there anywhere. Do you folks pray for the sick? It don't say a thing in that verse about a miraculous gift. Not one thing. But you don't know them at all. Pray for the sick. I can tell by what I can feel. Why can't I say that? All right. Read on.
Is any sick among you?
Let him do what?
Let him call for the elders of the church.
Let him call for the elders of the church. And what are they supposed to do?
Let them pray over him.
Let them pray over him.
Anointing him with oil.
Anoint him with oil. I have never heard of a sick person being prayed over in the so-called Church of Christ in my life. I have never heard of one being anointed with oil in my life. Now, if this church does that, well, I apologize to you. But I've never heard of it in all my life. And I don't believe Pratt Donahue's heard of it. And I don't believe anybody else in here has heard of it, according to your doctrine. Read that last verse again real fast. I want that to soak in.
Is any sick among you?
Let any sick among you?
Church.
Let him call for the elders of the church.
Let them pray over him.
Let him pray over him.
Anoint him with oil.
And what the prayer of faith do?
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
The prayer of faith shall save the sick.
The Lord shall raise him up.
And the Lord shall raise him up. All right. Now, let's get my chart on now. Number one chart. First, before we get that on, I got something I just got to get. He's been talking about this common meal, and I want you to listen close. He says a common meal when the church come together all into one place, it would be wrong for the church to eat a common meal. Now, he said that in the Meridian debate. When the disciples all come together in one place, here's his quote right here, to worship God as we would call in a church service, that is not right for them to have a common meal. Therefore, we know the breaking of bread is referring to the breaking of bread as in Acts 20. He says we're supposed to go, this is me right here, he says we're supposed to go by the Bible. I asked him in James 5:14 the Bible. I just read that and it is. All right, now, in his second speech in Acts 20:11, Paul ate a common meal. This is Donahue. But he said before that in his first speech, he said when the disciples come together to worship God, that we would call it a church service. That is not right for them to eat a common meal. Therefore, we know the breaking of bread, as referred to in Acts 20, is the Lord's Supper. My friend is in a great dilemma here because he tries to prove that church service is over in Acts 20. But this does not help his situation any because the occasion was for a gathering, church service, and the worship, and he says, think of the Lord's Supper, not the eating of a common meal. But then in verse 11, he said that Paul ate a common meal at the church service at church. Well, I wouldn't be in his shoes for nothing. You're in a dilemma. Talk about my cross-ups. Man, you just ramble and don't worry about yours, do you? So he's got Paul eating a common meal in verse 11 of Acts 20. And he said that according to 1 Corinthians 11, it was wrong to eat a common meal in church. They must have carried their supper with them, and they had to supper. Most church practices I know about don't believe in kitchens around the church or in the church. I won't argue about that. We'll go on here a little bit. All right, let's put up now. What we term as the Lord's Supper of the communion of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:16, 1 Corinthians 11:20, stems from the Passover. It stems from the Passover, the first day of the month, the year to all the congregation of Israel, ordained in Exodus 12, 2 through 11. The Passover, the feast, was on the unleavened bread to celebrate on the first of the month of the religious year, the 14th of Nisan, or April, that commemorated the deliverance of the Jews from Egypt and the establishment of Israel as a nation by God's redemptive act. It was kept under Moses, Exodus 12, 3:11 at Sinai. It was kept at Numbers 9:5. It was kept under Joshua and Caleb. Joshua 5:10. Kept by Hezekiah after the captivity of Israel. In 2 Chronicles 30:13. condemned by Josiah before the captivity of Judah, 2 Kings 23:21, 2 Chronicles 3, or 35, kept by Ezra on the return from captivity. The reason for action of these formerly mentioned was the related law of the Passover, number 9, 1, 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and we're to sign out the first month of the second year, they were to come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at this appointed season. Also read Leviticus 23 and 4, Numbers 28, 16. All right. Now, Jesus lived in obedience to the law. I brought that out in my last speech. He lived in obedience to the law. Matthew 5, 17, 18, 19, John 8, 46, Luke 2, 21, 24. And in obedience to the law, he kept the Passover feast. Matthew 26, 19, Mark 14, 12, Luke 22, 7, John 13. Now, the Passover feast, or what we term as the Lord's Supper, is memorial and brings into view the redemption of the church. Made up of each individual member that is delivered from sin, type of Egypt, established as a nation through the sacrificial offer of the body of Jesus Christ by God's redemptive act. I say if there hadn't been a Passover, there wouldn't be a Lord's Supper. Now he's asked, there's no connection. He's wrong, 100% wrong on that. And he gets up here and crawls about the Sabbath day. That's all we can hear. And the Sabbath day is no example to us keeping the Lord's Supper at all. All right, 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the church, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts and war against your soul. Fleshly lusts, hold that right there a minute. Do y'all get rid of your fleshly lusts every week? Before you take the Lord's Supper, do you sit up and watch TV half the night, soap operas, and everything else you think of? And then come to the Lord's table on Sunday and take the Lord's Supper and say you're a Christian? You're supposed to be a holy nation if you're a Christian. Pat Donahue, watch the Andy Griffith show and all that carnal junk and get up here and tell you to take the Lord's Supper every week. Are you going to hell? I'd like for you to tell us, is a person going to hell if you don't take it every week? How about you tell us that? It'd be good if you'd tell next week he believes that. And he's going to tell it before this debate's over with. If you don't, I've got a tape over there in play. You told us that Forrest sort of had a little slip of the tongue. That's what this debate stemmed from. He said you either take it every week or be lost. That's what he said. I'm going to hold him to it. But he wishes right now he hadn't said it. But you see, the fleshly lust. You've got to get rid of fleshly lust before you take the Lord's Supper. Come up here telling me you're a Christian, been out here and do every ungodly thing that is in the country all week long, then go to the Lord's table. I'm not saying you folks do it. I'm just telling you none of us can't do it if we're going to be saved. So Jesus Christ is our Passover sacrifice for us. What has Pat Donahue said about this scripture? N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing. Big zero. Now, we do not find in any of the four Gospels where Jesus gave any command. I brought that out a while ago in Matthew 28 and 20. Jesus never gave no command to the apostles to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. In fact, they met in the book of John on the first day of the week. And we don't find they had met when he was risen from the dead, come in and were having service. We don't find no Lord's Supper present nowhere. Jesus never taught the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week. You do not find it. He said, you remember for me. Well, Jesus gave any command or made any reference to the first day of the week. And the apostles couldn't either. When he ate the Last Supper with his disciples, and they were having a first day of, and they were having a first day of the week then, in Matthew 28:1, they were having a first day of the week. Jesus never said nothing about the first death day when he paid the last supper with his disciples. Read John 13:17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. That includes feet washing also. Feet washing was an example. It was an example. Not just when feet's dirty. That makes me sick. Where's that in the Bible? He made this remark after they had eaten supper. He had washed the feet of the disciples. Then 1 Corinthians 11:26, Paul did say for as often, not every first day of the week, but as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now let us look at Acts 26 through 11. And we sail away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. I asked him to explain that to me too. I don't believe he did the last time. And came unto them to Troas in 5 days. Notice that we got 5 days. When we abode 7 days, we don't find no Lord's Supper in these 12 days right here. They come to Troas. Now they didn't meet in that 12 days. I believe if they'd have met in that 12 days, the Bible would have said something about it. But when first day of the week come around, the next time they come together to break bread. See, you got no Lord's Supper in these 5 days right here. They missed it. They didn't take it. Let that soak in real good. You see, you cannot read things into the Scripture. You can't read the Lord's Supper between here. The first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. I want you to notice that. Paul preached unto them, led to depart on tomorrow, and continued his feast at midnight. They didn't break bread when they come together at that time right there. Paul preached to them. And continued to speak to midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And so this fellow fell out of the window, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down and with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, trouble not yourselves, for his light is in him. When he therefore was coming up again and had broken bread, and he says this is a common meal here. Roll it back down a little bit. He said they took the Lord's Supper here before Paul preached. He said this is a common meal here. Now I want you to read common meal into that, my friend. You are obligated to read common meal into that. And eaten and talked a long time, even till break of day. So he departed. So, what do you see the first day of a week on this chart? Anybody see it? I see they come together on the first day of the week to break bread. Paul preached to them. They didn't break it. They didn't take it till after midnight. But he calls this a common meal. You know why he calls this a common meal? Because he really, according to his doctrine, can't have them eat the Lord's Supper twice in one night. One service. So he's got to get out of it some way. So he says they eat a common meal here, Mr. Forsyth. Oh, God. Mixed up ain't nothing. I'm telling you. Mixed up. Pat Donahue is mixed up. All right. 1 minute. I'll just cover a few of these things right here in that minute. I don't want him to come back. I'm gonna stay with this holy kiss and handshake. That's a long way apart. This is an example now, Mr. Donahue. The holy kiss is mentioned more times than one. I guess before this is over, I'll have to look up. I wish you'd have brought how many times it was mentioned, but it must have been pretty important. And we do hug each other's neck. That's getting a little closer. Praise God. We haven't too many of us gone into kissing business yet, but we do hug one another's neck, so we're closer to the act than y'all are. All right. So I want him to come back here. We're going to keep on missing this handshake again. Thank you very much. I'll be back in the next meeting.